Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
$45 million.
Yep.
I'm watching this Anthony Rendon. By the way, I think you both know I'm a huge baseball fan. I love Anthony Rendon. I love watching guys like that play. He's a great player, phenomenal hitter, great fielder. I mean, he's a special talent that probably 90% of
don't
the audience
even
right now couldn't pull out of a police lineup.
Right.
But he's going to make $245 million over the next 7 years. And what's crazy is the LA Angels signed him to this contract. They just signed Mike Trout, what, $400 million contract.
Yep.
And they also remember the team that signed Albert Pujols years back to that, whatever, was it 250, whatever it was?
Yeah. That's that TV money, man.
Man, it's crazy.
And they're not good.
Yeah, and that's another thing. They were in on Garrett Cole, I guess, and other guys. They were looking for a pitcher. That's their next
but
step.
But here's my
pitcher.
You're a baseball guy. And it's always, you know, I've always had a question about this. Because most of the time, you get a pitcher for the postseason. Mm-hmm. Where if you can have that ace where you got to face twice in a series, okay, that's where he's going to make his money. But who's more important, a position guy or a pitcher? Because a pitcher only, you know, pitches, what, 35 times?
Yeah, every fifth, you know, as they say,
every fifth day. Like one guy, how much of an impact? Everybody talks about how great this pitcher. If a pitcher were to go 25-2, right, mm-hmm. how much of an impact would he have on a team as opposed to a everyday player?
There's a tough way to factor this because, you know, we had one here in Jose Fernandez who was a true ace, right? Who was just
developing
that true ace. And he was the kind of guy that was electric for so many reasons because, A, he saved your bullpen a lot, which is in a long 162-game season.
Right.
A guy like that,
that
7-8 innings is great. And getting that understanding that in a big game you had that guy. But you're right. Look, and a position player is more impactful in the long term. But when you're a team like that that already has a Mike Trout and that can go out and get players, that's why it's funny. You know I'm a Yankees fan, but I'm also a Marlins fan. Having grown up down mm-hmm. here, I always rooted for the Marlins when they came into existence. I was my senior year in high school, and I was so excited about having a baseball team in South Florida. But it's funny how the way reactions work. Like the Yankees signed Garrett Cole, right, to that 340, whatever it was, million. And I was excited. I'm like, good, go spend that TV money. You're the Yankees. Go get the players and win a championship. If the Marlins had signed Garrett Cole, I'd be on the radio and I was going, what the hell are they doing?
Well, because they're not there yet.
But they'll never be there. And I think that's the point what you said about the Marlins.
Sure.
I'm not saying the Marlins won't win again one day. What I'm saying is the Marlins can't win by just buying players.
No.
By spending $340 million on Garrett Cole and $245 million on Anthony Rendon.
Mm-hmm.
They have to do it differently. And that differently is tough because it takes a lot of building.
Well, there's a lot of teams that do it differently.
Yes.
You got the Padres. You got the Oakland A's. You got Kansas City.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Tampa Bay hasn't won. Have they been to a World Series?
Houston's a perfect
team.
Yeah, Tampa did a few years ago. After
in 2008, they went to the World Series.
Houston, they did the rebuild like that.
They also, the thing about Houston is they did the rebuild. They spent a little money in there while they were rebuilding. And I think that's what, I get asked a lot about the Marlins. And look, the Marlins are not obviously buyers now at the meetings and in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
But the Marlins are in a position that they're doing it the right way, I think, in rebuilding the system. The question then becomes in a year or two when maybe those young players are good is, are you keeping those guys?
Are you going to, well, you know what I would do in which I thought was a good job by the Marlins, is when they went and signed Christian Yelich to a $50 million deal.
That
and they went
that old regime. That was a good deal.
That was a good deal because you got a, you had an MVP that was making.
Oh, he wasn't an MVP at the time.
No, let's be real. But a future MVP. Yeah,
then nobody said he was a future MVP.
I don't know, but I remember it well. I remember telling people all the time, I think Christian Yelich will win a batting title. I say a lot of things that
batting
are wrong,
title,
right. But that one I said, I think he's going to be a legitimate star who could win a batting title, and he did become that. Now, did I think he was going to be a 40-plus home run guy? No,
right.
I'm not going to lie.
It just happens when you
No, hold on. Here we go.
Well, they just moved the dimensions in. They moved the dimensions.
They moved the fences in because of Christian Yelich, of what he did in Milwaukee, how it exposed the ballpark.
He's a ballpark.
It's
he's
science.
A ballpark guy.
This is the second time they've moved in the fences. They're going to keep moving it. Are you just going to have like in softball with the infield?
I mean, when the place first opened, the fences were on Biscayne.
The huge green walls.
you got to hit it to little outside of Little Havana, like Versailles for a home run.
Right. It's like no fences. Just run it out. Run like it out little league.
Exactly. I mean, look, I it's amazing the money in the baseball. I saw someone, one of the baseball writers, and I wish I remember who it was, tweet out like baseball's booming. I love baseball. I'd love to tell you baseball's booming. It's booming in a few markets because they have the financial ability to spend and be players. But the majority of baseball is like the Marlins, where you just can't go out and get those players. And you're basically trying to rebuild the system. And that excites no one. There's a fan base of the Marlins that's really excited about it. And I get it because they get that their building process. But Leroy, to the common person, they're like, who? What? Why? Who's this guy?
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
The Nationals who just.
I think that's the one issue that baseball has. Like a guy, if a guy gets a $245 million contract, everybody in the country should know who he is.
No,
and baseball, these guys sign these big contracts.
Mike Trout walks to the, it's the old Aventura Mall theory. If Mike Trout walks into the Aventura Mall and goes out to buy
he just
a t-shirt, look,
you know,
how many people stop him?
He looked like he just lift weights. He went to LA Fitness.
He just left Equinox there at the Aventura Mall. I got a little workout and he's walking over to get something.
Right.
You know,
right.
And that's just the way it works. Now, we said LeBron James walks to the Aventura Mall.
Right. But you know, don't we have to. Don't,
James Harden.
That's where a strip mall is.
Isn't that. Isn't that the problem with baseball in general? Like the guys
they're trying
that
trying to market, they're trying hard to.
But
market.
The guys they're marketing aren't that personable. Like Bryce Harper, like an old curmudgeon.
He's a unique, but even like a lot of the stuff of baseball with the bat flips and stuff, it tends to go to the Latin players and the Latin players that you have. You know, you see the Yasiel Puigs and these. They have great energy and passion and play the game hard, and it still doesn't even translate.
But here's why.
To that.
Here's why. You have the old curmudgeons of baseball.
Oh, that's
right?
A whole other story.
And and I would say this.
McCann's retired.
If I have a guy that's throwing a ball 100 miles an hour. Throwing the ball that can move some of the way these pitchers move, and I catch one and hit it 400 feet.
Oh, I'm
let
break,
me
I'm
have
break dancing.
Let
first.
Me have my moment.
Oh, I'm,
baseball, let them have their moment. They're not showing up the pitcher, they're celebrating. Look, the good hitters only have success 30% of the time. Most of the guys that hit home runs bat 275.
25% of the time, 26%.
Right.
Of the time.
And so. For them to celebrate hitting a ball well or hitting them, you hit a ball 400 feet.
I am moonwalking
right.
Space.
Let them have their moment.
And by the way, if you strike me out four times, you can go ahead and moonwalk on the mound if you want.
Right.
It's fine.
Well, they do. They do. When pitchers have a big strikeout, they're fist pumping and grunting and all that. We can't throw the bat at them.
That's what sports is about, is have fun.
But right. And so from that standpoint, I just think that once – you know, you allow baseball to move to that next level. You can do it without showing up a player or a pitcher. And there's a difference in showing up a pitcher or celebrating your success.
Yeah, have passion.
Okay?
I mean, look at all the passion. You know, we're going to talk heat in a minute. Think of all the passion that he came when guys hit big shots throughout the course of a game.
Right.
And then Trey
Young.
Nobody
gets offended.
Trey Young said, it's over. And you know, you do that in baseball, it's a storyline like, what a jerk. In NBA, it's just fun. It's part
right.
of the game.
Nobody takes it personal.
Yeah.
You know how you take it personal? You go and win the game. And now guess what? He's got to eat it. That whole situation was funny.
That's what sports is all about.
Right.
All right. Let's talk some headlines, Robbie.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Since we're on the subject, Craig Mish, probably one of the better follows for the winter meetings going on.
If you're a Marlins
city.
Fan, you better be following.
Yeah, yep. Craig Mish. Apparently, I'm not going to qualify this as a – it'd be unfair to qualify this as a rumor. But he says clubs keep asking the Marlins for Sandy Alcantara. I suppose you have to start somewhere, but it seems highly unlikely Miami will deal him. But it doesn't hurt to ask, I guess. I mean, that's like me calling up the Astros. Brr, brr. Hey, what do you want for Altuve? And then, boom, that's Altuve trade rumors. It's not a real rumor. It's just teams calling.
This is true. Hey, I mean, look.
You're not familiar with Robbie's phone.
Is that the way it rings? Brr, brr. What are you, Cardi B? Your phone's a Cardi B ringtone? Is that what it is?
No, he just.
Robbie. That's what the Marlins have. Their attractive pieces are their young pitchers. If anybody's going to call the Marlins, it's for their young. Nobody's calling for their bats, trust me.
Yeah. Gosh, no.
No one's calling for the groundskeeper?
Maybe.
Brian Anderson.
They do a good job out there.
It'll be interesting in his next couple of years, by the way, with all those guys they traded for that are in the minor leagues.
And that's really why, you know, people say about buyers and sellers. Look, the Marlins aren't buyers. They're not going to spend $100 million. They're not going to have this huge payroll. They're not in position to yet. Let the young guys develop.
They're still recovering from the Wei-Yin Chen debacle. You can't afford to.
It's not just that. You can't. Let the kids play. Let the kids play, see what they could do for a year, and then figure out where you can patch up some pieces and what's the plan. What else is going on, Robbie?
Yeah, by the way, if I'm the Marlins, I'm not so sure if I'm hanging up right. I don't know if Sandy Alcantara is good enough where you could immediately hang up the phone if somebody asks. I think you listen once and like, what do you got? And then after their initial offer, it's probably terrible. Then you can hang up.
And then
they'll call back and you could just ignore them. But you got a lot of NFL football tonight, Thursday Night Football.
I forgot about that. Who's playing?
You got the Jets at the Ravens. Tonight,
ooh, wow!
Lamar Jackson is playing.
Well, Lamar Jackson is a thriller, but that's about it.
Le'Veon Bell also is playing, even though he had that snafu.
By the way,
get ready for the spread.
I would say 12.
No, what? I would say 16.
16 and a half. It was really? 16 yesterday.
Really?
That was good. I mean, yeah, that's about right.
I would say this. Like, I don't. I remember playing my career and not knowing how to act like a football player. You understand what I'm saying? Being that, for example, Le'Veon Bell was supposedly sick. They ruled him out.
He went bowling. Is that bad?
And he bowled a 251.
No, that's like, good. No, what is, that's my point. So does it look like a bad teammate? Like, oh, if you could bowl, it means you probably could have played in the game?
In an NFL game? Yeah, I don't think it works that way.
Right,
yeah,
but so what? I don't understand what the problem is.
You know what it is? The problem is the optics of it.
That's why I said, I started off by saying, I don't know how to act like a football player.
But here's the thing, too. We talk about it all the time. We sound like old men when we say this, but I don't think it's a generational thing. We live in a different world now where we're instantly, if Le'Veon Bell bowls, right, you will know within 5 minutes people are hashtagging and adding him on Twitter and taking pictures of him and posting it. Hey, look, Le'Veon Bell's bowling here, and it takes off and it blows up on social media and it becomes a story. Le'Veon Bell is playing in the 80s and the 90s. Nobody's paying attention. You might find out a week later, like, oh, Le'Veon Bell bowled a 250, you know, the week that week. Nobody's making a big deal. Things happen so instantly now. Like last night, we were talking about that event, the Hard Rock. If Dan Mullen says something controversial, right, and I tweet about it, within seconds it takes off like, oh, Dan Mullen said this about this.
Right.
And it becomes a huge story before he even leaves the Hard Rock. It's trending on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I'm just making it up as a situation, but that could absolutely happen.
Sure.
And that's just the world we live in now.
I get it, but as a coach or an organization or a teammate, don't you have to kind of be above that? Being that you understand and
so
know.
You're his teammate, Adam Gase. What are you saying? You're his teammate. And you
nothing.
Find out. Nothing?
What does that have to do with playing a game of football?
No, Leroy, I agree with you. I'm just saying, I think the people that are
listening, Adam Gase got mad because he went bowling on Saturday. What should he have been doing?
I guess at
what
home
is the
watching,
proper?
I mean, honestly, it's at home watching, reading stuff on the game, and so that you can help your teammates on the sideline while you're there. Your teammates on the sideline.
So that is the official football thing to do.
No,
throw
I'm
a cough
not,
every
not
now and then.
That. I'm just saying. I think that's what people are saying. They think, if he's not playing, he should be a good teammate and do everything in his power to help his team win.
Here's
games.
The most amazing thing: the coach that won't use him is mad that he went bowling.
Like, come on.
And then he stuck it to him. Then they ran it 30 times when he wasn't playing.
Jets fans want to send Adam Gase bowling.
But that's my whole point. Like, I've been, like, I never really, I guess I wasn't aware of when I wasn't doing football things because I was just living my life.
You can't live your life anymore as an athlete, though. It's completely changed. You just can't. That's why so many athletes are sheltered. And so whether it be anti-media or different, or on fans.
And then you hold that against him.
Yeah,
he's not personable. This guy, he doesn't.
Because any little thing you do becomes a major story. And I get, I get it. That's why the Anthony Rendos of the world make $245 million. You're making a lot of money. I get it. But that's not an excuse. I mean, what else we got? So then the Panthers tonight.
The Panthers are back in action tonight at home at the BB&T Center against the Islanders, 7 o'clock. And we also got Barry Jackson's big piece.
Tell me about, I want to hear about it on the other side. You promised it earlier.
Yes.
I promise we'll get to it on the other side. Let's do that.
Join Hawk and Crowder for a live broadcast from the 8th Annual Channing Crowder Toy Drive at the Lester H. White Boys and Girls Club in Fort Lauderdale on Thursday, December 19th, beginning at 2 p.m. Stop by and donate new unwrapped toys, games, and gift cards for boys and girls between the ages of 6 and 18. Donations are also being accepted at the club during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. to 8 p.m., and Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Man, this is a bit of a... hey, look at this. It says, I want you to see this.
I'm coming.
And look at this. And if you didn't realize what you were reading, right, look at what this says. Oh. you got, like... Woo! Tobin read it the other day, and I was like, whoa, pause, buddy. Pause.
Punctuation.
Yes.
Please punctuate.
So, yeah, man.
I was looking at, while we were on break, looking at the standings, and I don't get too caught up in the standings 25 games in the season, but I'm going to get caught up in the standings 25 games in the season. Mm-hmm. The Heat have the second best record in the Eastern Conference, the third best record in the entire NBA. And
yeah, but they have the third by a long shot. They're five games behind that, right?
Well, Milwaukee and the Lakers are kind of like their own category. And then you have like five or six teams that are all within a couple wins and losses of each other. And the Heat now are the leaders of the pack. And look, come back-to-backs against the Lakers and Mavs, Monday we could be having a discussion where they're, you know, the five or six because they've lost a couple games. They've got a couple of tough games coming up. But point being... this Heat team is creating this faith that they are legitimate. By the way, I think they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the formula is a perfect formula to have success in this NBA that is so top heavy, meaning there's only about eight or nine teams that I think are really good. Then you have, you know, eight or nine teams that are really average. And then you have eight or nine teams that are really bad.
Right.
And they're beating those average and bad teams, and that's the way you become the third best team in the NBA. I mean, tomorrow is going to be a challenge. I'm curious how they live up to that challenge. Like I said, the Lakers are not just a fun team to watch; they're a defensive team too.
It's pretty amazing that there's not a lot of people that thought that the Lakers would be this right.
I thought they'd be good. Yeah, I think, you know, got into the premature LeBron may not be the same LeBron anymore. Oh, and LeBron was
with
just
a year off,
pacing himself.
With a year off?
He was just pacing himself.
With a year off? He had 8 months off, which is more basketball he had off in his whole career?
He was pacing himself. He was drinking wine to the arena.
And then, I got to tell you, like, here's one of those examples. Like, Anthony Davis, we knew he was good, but we never really saw him play. Right.
Very true. I mean, when did he play in big games?
And now you see him with, you know, the Lakers, and you're like, wow.
He's really good.
He's really good.
I mean, he's phenomenal. He's one of the really best players good. In the league.
Like, I thought LeBron would be LeBron. I didn't think Anthony Davis would be this. You see what I mean?
No, we know the skill set and the talents there. We've just never been able to see it at a high level, like games that matter.
Because can you tell me, like, look, I know Anthony Davis is better than Karl-Anthony Towns, but aren't they very similar players?
Well, now it's a stat line. You know, you look at the stat. If you see a guy on a bad team give you 27 and 12, you're thinking, "Well, that guy's great, but his team sucks. Who cares?" Right. Mm-hmm. But when you see him get 27 and 12 and put all those numbers on the best team in the league and working with LeBron and you know making all these big shots and plays defensively, then you say to yourself, "My God, he's special." And we're gonna get to see him tomorrow night along with a guy that we saw plenty in LeBron. And bless you. And we
double cough button.
Oh, you got
the right outside the door.
Yeah,
but that you know, this is a fancy, beautiful new facility. I love it. The cough button would be nice,
especially on the talk radio.
Yeah, well, I had a little burp going earlier, and I'm looking at Leroy, and it looks like I'm going to throw up in my mouth. You know, because I'm like staring. I'm like, I don't want to burp, but what about to burp?
And know that. Like
I'm watching you talking.
Can you come up with a man reason to use the cough button?
What's that?
I had a little burp.
I had a little burp. You know, I mean, a little indigestion. At my age, you get a little stuff coming back at you. You're just like,
and you didn't eat your bag of eggs this morning?
I didn't have my hard-boiled eggs this morning.
Our cough buns were our appraisal.
Or outside. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that tomorrow night. And there's going to be a huge crowd. It's going to be, by the way, did you notice the game is at 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock.
So Miami fans, 7 o'clock.
I know on the program schedule from that you have in your refrigerator, it's going to say 8 o'clock.
This was a game that was taken by the network. It is a national game. They move it up to work with the ESPN doubleheader guideline, which is a 7 o'clock time. I believe it's like 7:05 or 7:08 tip, but be there early.
Yeah, it was supposed to be an ESPN game anyway at 8 o'clock, but what ended up happening is that second game of the doubleheader was a Warriors game, so they bailed on the Warriors game, and because it's Clippers at Minnesota, Minnesota's
it's
not
a 9:30 start instead of 10:30 start. Yes, so it's just get there early. I'm actually excited. Can I tell you something? I'm going as a fan tomorrow, which is rare for me.
Because no Sun Sports.
It's not on Sun Sports, and I'm not working at Channel 10 tomorrow. So I have a cousin who's a huge. Of course, the cousin who's the cousin who wants the tickets.
Yeah,
it's the
Lakers.
It's the Lakers. You know, hey, you going to the game? Yeah, we'll see. Hey, man, can I come? Yes, you can.
How does that always is? That's a South Florida thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I tell people all the time, I can't get free tickets. It's not like I'm sitting there getting tickets, but I can find a way to go to the games, but I'm not going to sit there and I'm going to, hey, I'm going to get you free tickets. So you get it all the time, but it's funny when it comes to the Lakers. Nobody's calling when the T-Wolves are in town. No, you know what I mean? Nobody called me about the Hawks game the other night. But man, when it's the Lakers, when it's the Clippers, when it's, you know, when the Warriors were hot, when it was the Warriors, everybody wants those tickets. But it's going to be the hottest ticket in town tomorrow night. It's going to be fun to watch. And again, I'm curious to see. They are right now the second best team in the Eastern Conference. At this point, right, what in this Heat season, barring injuries and stuff like that that you can't predict, what would be disappointing the remainder of this Heat season? How about putting it that way? What would be, when you entered the season, everybody's like, oh, sixth seed maybe. Maybe you could sneak in that top five. Now I'm thinking that anything outside of a top four seed to me, if you don't have home court in the first round, I'd be disappointed. Am I crazy?
No.
At this point,
they raised your
at this point,
so high.
I would say the only way I would be disappointed is if they start losing to teams that they're better than. Because that means that's a true test.
It'll come at some point.
Because when they play, the better teams, it'll be a way to see where they actually fit in to the power rankings.
Yeah.
But if they start losing and playing poorly against bad teams, they're going to hit a stretch. Everybody hits a stretch.
Yeah, it's true. I watching that Hawks game the other night, it almost should have been that game the other night.
You know why they might not hit a stretch, though, believe it or not? Because you've never actually played at full strength. So when guys come back, maybe the energy is going to be a little different.
When will there be? And that's the thing, though. When will they be? We're 25 games in the season of an 82. So you're past the quarter point of the season.
January?
Yeah, you're approaching the third.
January?
I know. When will? And look, by the way, to answer that question, because I'm sure a lot of people say, okay, when will they be back? Justice's injury. Again, they're not going to give you specifics. The Heat work very much in generic, broad timetables. But I think Justice will be back soon. Gorn's injury is one, though, that when it happened, I knew immediately that this was probably a 2 or 3 week thing. You know, when you're looking at a player of his age and the minutes he's logged and his importance with groin injuries and things like that, you knew this wasn't going to be something where he was back in three games. Would I expect Gorn to be hopefully back next week? I'm hopeful. I don't know if Gorn is back on this back-to-back. I don't think that's the idea. And again, the Heat aren't very specific. They don't like to lay out timetables because then if it doesn't happen, then you're just like, hey, why didn't the timetable happen? To your point earlier, which we already discussed about Deion, I was asked like three times last night at that event about Deion. Like, hey, man, when's Deion going to play? I don't know.
He didn't play on his birthday.
Yeah, I know, man. It was Philly Cheese. Philly Cheese's birthday, man.
Philly Cheese.
Today?
No, a couple days ago.
The Hawks game.
Yeah, he didn't play. He got celebrated. It was his birthday, but he didn't play.
You've been called a nerdy metrosexual.
Me?
Leroy, being a loyal listener and hearing in Tobin's insanity and irrational takes, then you bring in a nerdy metrosexual to replace him. It throws me off.
Yeah, but I don't know how nerdy. I'm nerdy in the sense of what? I don't really.
Will's not. You know what it is? It's the voice.
Eyebrows?
It's the voice.
He does sabermetrics in his spare time.
Of course.
It's the voice. Like, it's so
different than Tobin.
And you're just kind of like laid back, so people take that, you know, as.
If you've seen these eyebrows, trust me, I'm not that metro. But I mean. Look, part of the job is like, unfortunately, like I tell my oldest daughter always laughs at me. She always says like, oh, you know, daddy, you know, like you have a makeup bag. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I do, honey. I have a makeup bag. I mean, I got to wear makeup when I go on a story. You think I look bad on TV with this big forehead? Just imagine me with no makeup and that lighting and the harshness and all that stuff.
I can't understand that. 7:30 in the morning, your hair is like perfect.
No, I just woke up and throw water on it. It's just, you know.
Science.
I have to get, listen, I was noticing last night, I'm looking at the people are tweeting me or sending me messages, hey, checking out the Orange Bowl event, Will's up there with Coach Mullen, whatever. And I'm looking, I'm like, man, my hair looks really great. That lighting, I got to get a little, touch of gray. Touch of gray has got to come in. I'm going from here to Walgreens to get a little touch of gray. Every couple of months, throw a little touch of gray. Can't go full gray yet.
Will Mansell got the best eyebrows in television.
Wait, what was that?
That was a Rondé Gadsden. Apparently said that on Hawkman yesterday.
Hey, I wish I had hair. You got more hair on your eyebrows than I have on my head. Did,
well, you know, I believe as thick as these things are, I actually do get them.
I get them threaded.
Because you ever see want to grow?
No.
You ever see want to see a grown
Move
man
on.
Cry?
Let's
you want
talk
to see a grown
no.
man cry?
We got to talk sports.
No. So I get in the other day. This is a true story. I go. It's three girls, my stepdaughter, my oldest daughter, my girlfriend, and then myself. So you have three and a half girls. And I'm laying on this thing, and they get their eyebrows threaded, and they're just like whatever. So then it's my turn to get threaded, and it starts. Oh, it's fine. And then about 30 seconds in. You know that feeling where you know you're going to cry, but you kind of like biting your lip a little. And then I feel
like when somebody pinches you under the arm.
Yes. And I feel like on the corner of my, man, there's a little puddling. There's something coming. And I'm toughing it out. And the lady's like, you good? I'm like, yeah, keep training. And then I just feel the tears slowly run down my cheek. And I'm trying so hard to act like it's not hurting. Getting your eyebrows threaded.
Wait.
Hurts.
Wait.
Hurts.
Hold on. Are you telling me right now? At 7:37 in the morning, that you cried getting some hair pulled?
No, I didn't cry. Tears came out of my eyes.
Dude,
see, cried.
No.
Let me tell you something. I didn't tell those tears to come out of my eyes. It just started.
There's only one time a man is allowed to cry over hair pulling. That's when he just goes up to the mirror and manly snatches that hair out of his nose.
Well,
other than that, if you're getting any type of, you're in a beauty shop, and you got to give up your man card over that.
What if there was a running back, I forget who he played for, but he got tackled by his dreads. Like, he got nasty pulled down with his hair. And that's how he got tackled. I mean, no crying.
I'm sure that
you get a couple little hair hairs pulled out.
And I wasn't crying. It was a tear slowly ran down my cheek. And, you know, when it got toward my lip, I kind of took my tongue out. Let me bring it in.
Wait.
You know,
no, and nobody was laughing at you?
No, because I did it so nonchalant. It looked natural.
You can't nonchalantly cry?
You can nonchalantly cry. I wasn't sniffling. I wasn't sniffling crying. It was just a little tear down the face. But you know what? And then she's like, you want some aloe? No, aloe. I'm a man. I don't need aloe. I'm going to tough this one out. And I walk out with like pink eyebrows, you know, because I didn't put the aloe on because I'm toughing it out. So my eyes are like red at the top where they really thread
it. Hey, man.
That's the life of
That's the price of television. Time out. You see these beautiful things right here?
They look good.
Never been touched.
You have very natural eyebrows. I have some bushy eyebrows and a big forehead. I got to work on things. The best is, you know,
like you almost have to get them groomed like your hair.
Can I? Did I ever
tell
you?
Are like,
are we okay on time, Barbara? Do I have time to
say one quick thing?
I have a. This is the funniest thing that ever happened to me in my TV career as far as looks. So I have a dermatologist I would go to. And it's Miami, so she's not dermatologist slash like Botox and all that
like
stuff.
Oh, like at the like when you go to the duplex down in Hialeah?
One of those, basically.
Yeah,
she'll do it all. Brush your teeth, she'll do it, whatever you need that. You
calf implants.
Everything you need. You want some biceps, a little pecs, whatever you need. So she says to me one day, this must have been 6-7 years ago. So I was in my 30s still. I'm 44 now. She said, man, you have really thick lines in your forehead. I said, I do. I said, I got a big forehead. I got some thick lines. I have a lot of movement in my face. I'm Cuban and I move a lot. And she said, well, you know, a little Botox would make that. No, I don't do Botox. She said, no, it'd be great. It just softens it. It just,
dude,
you know.
Let me tell you something. I said, let me tell you something. If you come in here,
no, let me tell you. I
gotta
tell
me you got Botox.
No, let me tell you the story. There's a story. I have no shame telling you this.
Okay.
So I have big. You look at me now, watch me on TV. I just moves everywhere. I got, you know, facial expressions, and I'm okay with it. These thick lines in my head and my forehead. So she says to me, "Let me just touch up that middle one." No. I said, "Doc, listen. I don't want to do Botox. I'm never going to do Botox. It's not something." She said, "No. Listen, I will just give me. Let me just give you a cupid. It's. I'll do it for free. I'll do it." I said, now they're throwing it free. I'm like, "Look," I said, "No. I was about to go on vacation." And she said, "Let me," and I said, "Look, what are you gonna do?" She's like, "It's just 4 or 5 little injections around the middle. It's just for that big fat line you have in the middle of your forehead."
So did she
and
shame
it's
you?
Subtle. It's subtle. Oh. She shames me. So I said, "Doc, okay, fine." She doesn't. She does it little pinches. I'm like, "What the hell?" So whatever. I go to work that day, no big deal. It feels like a little bit. I go to vacation and the next day. I'm going to Sarasota with my family. And this is like a family vacation. Cousins are there. My parents were still healthy at the time, so they can go on these vacations. And we're sitting there. And like the third day, I'm feeling kind of funny. What the hell's wrong? Like, I feel like. So I'm talking to my cousin. He looks at me. He goes, "Man, what the hell's wrong with your forehead?" So what do you mean, what's wrong with my forehead? He's like, "What's it's like off." I said, "What do you mean it's off?" So I go over to the closest mirror and I look. And I got this fat flap. You know what I mean? It's like if I had a man child with Booger McFarlane. I'm like, what the hell happened to my forehead? I just got this big flap in the middle of my forehead, like a line that's like folded. And I call. I said, "Doc, what the hell did you do to my forehead?" She's like, "Oh, yeah, sometimes it doesn't settle. Give it time." I said, "Give it time?
That's what you get.
What the hell that's are what you talking
get.
About?
Get old like a real man."
So, I am. So like a month. So then I go, you know, this whole vacation, it takes like a flap. I got to go back and she's got to like do it again to get rid of the flap better. So now
you're a Botox lifer.
So no, not at all. I've never done it again. So then I go on TV, right? And it's fine. By the next time I go on TV, it's fine. It looks kind of like myself. But now Botox, it works over time, like over the course of a month. So a month and a half later, I'm doing a hit and I'm all excited. But man, the only thing that's not moving is the center of my forehead. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? I call it, oh yeah, it's working. I said, this isn't working. I can't have my whole face and body and could making movements, but the center of my forehead not moving on television. It was.
I'm going to tell you, go home
never,
and watch a movie.
Never. You want me
to cry? It's called Just Go With It.
Oh, no, I did. I would never
do
that.
Have you seen that movie?
Oh, so the funny thing is now we joke about it. She's like, oh, you would never do that again. I said, hell no, I would never. You gave it to me for free, and if you kept giving it to free, I'd never do it again. I can't. I move too much. It's okay. I could deal. See this thick line? I'm okay with it. Deep crater. I don't care. I'm good.
All right.
I'm good.
Here's.
But look, if you ever need a good Botox, no. I got a woman in Hialeah.
The texter explains the difference between you and Tobin perfectly. He says, Leroy, let me explain to you like this. That guy is Starbucks pedicure and manicure guy, while Tobin is a 7-Eleven Dunkin' Donuts guy.
No, I'm worse. You actually read me wrong. I like going to gourmet coffee places.
Get jazzy on. I'm that flight that you get on.
Oh. Don't bleep with your face, man. You might end up looking like Kenny Rogers.
Oh no, I that's what I tell. Look, I look the way I embrace the way I look, and I got a big forehead. I understand. I got big lines. Look, I got deep set eyes. There's nothing I can do about it. I look like a raccoon a lot of times with that dark eyes. You know, like I get it. Okay.
Oh no, there's more. There's more. Leroy asking what type of wine should I get if I order a chicken Alfredo.
You know, that great wine that I love is the Gabi de Gabi. Have you ever had those? Those are excellent.
I don't drink wine.
You don't drink wine?
No, man. I'm a man. Leroy, ask him if while dining, does he order his wine by the glass or the bottle?
Normally bottle. Yeah. Right. If I'm gonna do one, and the other night I took my daughter to the Hard Rock to a show, and I only had a glass because I was driving, so that was different. But if I'm gonna go on and I'm Ubering and I have a night out, I'll get a bottle. Mm. Not an expensive bottle. You don't have to spend a lot on wine. Listen. My mentor was Jimmy Cephalon. If anybody knows wine, it's Jimmy. There's a guy that can teach you about wine.
I wish he would teach me about wine.
Listen, what's wrong with a man who threads his eyebrows, likes wine,
hey,
uses Touch of Gray, and a little pomade?
You know what's funny?
What?
That me and Robbie just had the greatest laugh, and you were so oblivious because only we know about what I've said.
I think Will knows what.
Wait, what inside joke did I miss? Wait, tell me again. I want to hear the inside joke.
No,
I want to be inside the joke.
Jimmy Cephalo has taught me so much about wine, and I said, "We wish you would teach me about the positioning of the Dolphins on the football field."
Oh yeah. I stay out of that one. You know,
you know what's funny? I love those guys. They've been doing it for a long time, and they have like, you know, you want people doing that job that have been around the organization a lot, mm-hmm. and are going to kind of give you, you know, the inside scoop. Like, I don't care if they're biased. I don't care.
Well, you almost have to be like, if you're right. on a team broadcast, you're going to be a homer, and that's okay. I don't, you know, it's funny when people come to me and talk about like the broadcast team and Jimmy, I have all the respect in the world for Jimmy because I've never seen somebody be a better broadcaster and like a host. And I catch myself years later. I'm sure you were like this.
He's got the voice.
Well, I'm sure with players too, as like you catch yourself doing things that you learn from others and you're like, man, I kind of doing one of the things and I would, from observing Jimmy and working with him as a host and an anchor and a reporter, I catch myself doing a lot of things he would do. I'm like, man, I really did learn from just watching him. Mm-hmm. So when people say stuff, I'm like, I get it. You know, people criticize his play-by-play now. And I don't, you know, I think Jimmy's the best in the business in overall talent, but I understand why people, and it's hard though when you're a homer, like Eric Reed, for instance. Eric's one of the best in the business, and Eric tells it like it is, but of course he's a bit of a homer as well. You become a homer. You cover a team around every day, and you're around them. What else do you expect, you know?
Right.
Rob, are you going next time I get threaded, I'm taking you? Listen, they see
wait,
you.
This
they
guy had to get his back shaved. Look how hairy he is.
It was like straight up, like
no hair on his back.
40-year-old virgin.
No hair on his back.
That.
Oh, Kelly Clarkson.
We thought he
ripped the hairs off your chest.
Science.
We did it to back. He has no hair on his back.
You have no hair on your back? Wait. Time out. You had hair on your back?
None.
No, but you had hair on your back.
But I have like so much hair everywhere else. Like,
right.
You know,
look at him.
It grows like wildfire.
His forehead hair is touching his eyebrows.
He's got a little, that's, you know what? Robbie, embrace it. There are a lot of men that would love to have the connected eyebrow to the hairline. There are a lot of men.
He will be playing one of those guys tomorrow night.
That's a good point. He's making a lot more money than we are, but, you know, that's a whole other story. Will Manso, by the way, this is not Brandon Tobin, as you probably assume by now. Leroy Horton, that's Robbie on the other side. Leroy, Robbie mentioned that game tomorrow night, which we talked about a bit already. I'm excited for it. I can't wait. And somebody was actually just looking at Twitter in between during the break. Ticket prices. Said the ticket prices are insane. Robbie, Ooh. Can you take a look at that when you get a chance?
Yeah, like the minimum is like at least according to ESPN.com, the cheapest ticket's like $110.
And that's like
that's
you're
not
sitting,
bad. That's in nosebleed.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're sitting up. I wonder if tomorrow they're doing the standing room only. I know sometimes for the big games they do the standing room only tickets. You know, way up there.
Hopefully, there's gonna be plenty of Lakers fans too that show up to this game.
That's another thing. There are so many Lakers
and LeBron worshipers.
Way out east,
There's I told you
they're like the Raiders.
Everybody texted me like buddies and stuff. Hey man, I know I never asked you, but can you get me to no, I cannot get you tickets. I'm taking my cousin, and I didn't get him tickets. He's paying him, but I mean, I'm taking my cousin to the game tomorrow. He's a big Lakers fan.
You were way too nice. Like some people like will come or ask me, and I'm like, do I know you like that?
No.
Like, is our friendship good enough? You can ask me.
I didn't change my name to StubHub.
Yeah.
My name is not Will StubHub Mansell. It doesn't work that way. And I get it. Everybody wants to go to the game. And look, I have this discussion with people all the time. That's why I love fans, like the Dolphin fans, right? Man, and even Canes fans, you spend your hard-earned money and you take your kids and your wife, your you know, your family, and you think of all the money you spend on going to a football game.
The food and the drink cost more than the ticket sometimes.
Yeah, the cheapest lower bowl ticket is like $250.
And that's why I have so much respect for fans that are that way. I mean,
that go all the games.
Yeah,
like, yeah. I'm never gonna
like a quick story. You know, I'm a Giants fan, and a few years ago, I said to myself, you know, I'm gonna start a tradition. Every year, I'm gonna go and without
see
the kids,
game.
Just see a Giants game. And I had for a few years in a row, and this year I didn't because they suck. And I'm like, you know what? If I'm gonna go, let's say to go to New York, and I'm gonna spend $500 on two tickets, $600 on two tickets, a couple of my hotel stay, another $600-$700. Have a couple of dinners at $100-$150. That's another $200-$300. Then the tickets themselves, that's another $300. And then you know, you buy a t-shirt and stuff, that's another $100. I'm spending $1,500 or $2,000 to go watch a team lose 31-10. Yeah, I'm
you
good.
You can go watch Eli.
I'm good.
In his farewell tour.
You go Sunday against the Dolphins.
Right.
Yeah, I'll pass on that one.
Hey, even Steve Carell didn't cry when he got his chest waxed in a 40-year-old
version. Ah, Kelly Clarkson.
No, but he had a few profanities.
Yeah, you notice they did that. That was one take.
Oh, man.
How much can you pull the hair?
That hurts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.